This article is brought to you by the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time, The Black Book of Eamon Blackthorne. Because the right words, at the right moment, change everything. How to calibrate anchors for cross-cultural talks. Set your opening number with cultural intelligence, not just confidence. In short, cross-cultural anchoring is the art of setting an opening position that pulls the negotiation toward your goal without violating the norms of the culture you are negotiating within. The same anchor that earns respect in one culture can end the conversation in another. You must research cultural baselines before you set any opening number or position. The framing of your anchor often carries more weight than the anchor itself. Definition: cross-cultural anchoring is the deliberate act of setting an opening offer or position in a negotiation in a way that accounts for cultural norms, communication styles, and face-saving expectations, so that the anchor pulls the outcome toward your goal without triggering a breakdown in trust or dialogue. I watched a colleague lose a contract in Singapore in under 10 minutes. He opened with the same aggressive anchor he used in New York, a price 40% above his target, delivered with a confident smile and no contextual framing. The other party nodded politely, asked a single clarifying question, and then found reasons to end the meeting early. He never understood what happened. He thought he had played it strong. He had, in fact, communicated that he did not know or care where he was. Cross-cultural anchoring is one of the most consequential skills in international negotiation, and one of the most poorly understood. Most people know that anchoring works. The first number stated in any negotiation pulls the final outcome toward it. Few people know that the power of an anchor depends entirely on how the receiving culture interprets it. Set too high in the wrong room and you signal arrogance. Set too low and you signal weakness. Get the framing wrong and even a good number lands badly. This article gives you a practical process for reading the cultural terrain, calibrating your opening position, and adjusting in real time so you walk in prepared rather than hoping for the best. Why anchoring across cultures is genuinely difficult. The core challenge is that every negotiator carries their home culture assumptions into the room like invisible luggage. You know what an ambitious but credible opening looks like in your own context. You have a feel for what signals strength and what signals desperation. That feel was built over years. It is also completely specific to your own cultural context. In low-context cultures, where Germany, the Netherlands, and the United States tend to cluster, direct opening offers are expected and respected. People want to know your position early. A strong anchor reads as confidence. Negotiators in these settings often expect a large gap between opening positions and work through it methodically. In high-context cultures, where Japan, many Middle Eastern countries, and much of East Asia sit, the opening move carries social meaning beyond its numerical value. A very aggressive anchor can signal that you view the other party as an opponent rather than a partner. Relationship and face are at stake before any number is discussed. The anchor is read as a signal of your character, not just your starting price. The difficulty is not just knowing this in theory. It is knowing how to act on it under the pressure of a real conversation, with real stakes, in a room where you may be reading unfamiliar signals. What you need before you set a single number. No anchoring process works without preparation. This is the ground your anchor must stand on. You need to know three things before you open your mouth. First, understand your own reservation price, the point below which you will not go. Second, understand the realistic market range for what you are negotiating. Third, and most critically for cross-cultural talks, understand the cultural norms around opening offers in the other party's context. That third piece requires specific research. Talk to people who have negotiated in that culture before. Read accounts from practitioners, not theorists. If you have a contact inside the other organization, use them. Ask directly. What does a typical opening position look like in your experience of deals like this? Many people will answer honestly. The ones who do not will still tell you something through their hesitation. If you cannot answer the question, what would a credible opening look like to them, then you are not ready to anchor. How to calibrate anchors for cross-cultural talks. The steps below follow the natural sequence of a cross-cultural anchoring process. Do not skip steps 2 and 3. They're where most people cut corners and pay for it later. Number 1. Establish your own walkaway point and target. Before thinking about culture at all, get clear on your own numbers. What is your target outcome? What is the minimum you will accept? The distance between these two points defines your flexibility. Write these down. Spoken only in your head, they tend to drift under pressure. Number 2. Research the cultural norm for opening offers. Find out whether your counterpart's culture typically operates with wide opening gaps or narrow ones. Some cultures expect you to anchor at twice your target and bargain down dramatically. Others expect you to open close to your actual position as a sign of good faith. Anchoring at 2x in a good faith culture does not make you look tough. It makes you look uninformed. A useful rule of thumb in cultures where long-term relationships are the primary business currency, compress your anchor closer to your target. In cultures where transactional efficiency is the norm, you have more room to anchor aggressively. Number 3. Set your anchor at the ambitious edge of cultural credibility. This is the calibration itself. You want the highest opening position you can defend without triggering rejection or losing face. The word defend matters here. Your anchor must be backed by a rationale you can state clearly and calmly. This reflects the full scope of what we are delivering, including the post-implementation support phase is a defensible framing. An unexplained large number with no rationale attached is simply a provocation. Script your opening framing before you enter the room. Something like, based on comparable engagements at the scale and factoring in the 3-year support commitment, we are proposing an opening figure of X. That sentence does 3 things. It signals you've done your homework, it anchors high, and it gives the other party a frame to push back against rather than a wall to walk away from. Number 4. Frame the anchor to match the cultural communication style. In direct cultures, state the number clearly and early. Do not bury it in qualifications. Confidence is the message. In indirect or high context cultures, build context before the number arrives. Spend time on shared goals, relationship history, and the value you bring before you name a figure. The anchor lands differently when it arrives as a conclusion to a story rather than as an opening demand. If you are unsure which style applies, observe how the other party opens. Match their register. This is not weakness. It is intelligence. Number 5. Watch for the cultural response signal. When you anchor, you will get a reaction. In direct cultures, the counteroffer comes quickly. In indirect cultures, the reaction may be more subtle, a long pause, a change of subject, a shift in body language, or an overly polite agreement that does not commit to anything. Learn to read these signals as information. A silence after your anchor in a Japanese or Korean context is not blankness. It is processing. Do not fill it. Let the anchor sit. The worst thing you can do is immediately soften your own number because the silence made you nervous. That is not a concession won through negotiation. It is a concession handed over for free. If tensions rise during this phase, the principles in how to de-escalate arguments during meetings give you a solid recovery method. Number 6. Make planned concessions, not reactive ones. Decide before the meeting how you will move from your anchor. Map 2 or 3 concession points in advance, and what you expect to receive in exchange for each one. Unplanned concessions in cross-cultural settings are particularly costly because the other party may not interpret them as goodwill. In some cultures, a quick concession signals that your anchor was not genuine, which damages your credibility for every move that follows. Move slowly and deliberately. Each concession should feel earned by the other party, not given away under pressure. Number 7. Recalibrate if the cultural read was wrong. Sometimes the preparation is incomplete and the room tells you something different from what you expected. A counterpart who reacts to your anchor with visible discomfort, withdrawal, or a flat refusal to engage may be signalling that your opening was outside their credible range. Do not retract the anchor. You cannot do this cleanly. Instead, introduce a new reference point through additional framing. Let me give you a bit more context on how we arrived at that figure buys you time to reposition without appearing to back down. The core framework for staying grounded during tense conversations is worth having in your back pocket for exactly this kind of moment. Anchoring remotely across time zones and cultures. Remote cross-cultural negotiation strips away the body language signals you would normally rely on to read the room. You cannot see whether your anchor landed with interest or alarm. You may be working across 3 time zones with a 30-minute window and a connection that drops every 20 minutes. The adjustment here is to over-prepare the framing and under-rely on real-time reading. Write your anchor statement out in full before the call and have it in front of you. In remote settings, a stumbled or uncertain delivery of your opening number undermines the anchor before the other party even processes the figure. Send an agenda in advance. This is standard advice, but in cross-cultural remote talks, it has a specific function. It signals respect for the other party's preparation time and gives them context before the call begins. High-context cultures in particular respond well to receiving information ahead of time rather than being surprised on the call. If the conversation stalls remotely and you cannot read what is happening, ask a direct but respectful question. I want to make sure our opening position makes sense in the context of how you usually approach these conversations. Does the framing feel right to you? This invites feedback without retreating from your position. A quick note before we continue. Most people leave the hardest conversations for last and regret the words they used when they finally had them. The best-selling book Say It Right Every Time gives you 115 tested scripts for those exact moments, the ones that shape careers, relationships, and how people remember you. Get your copy at emonblackthorne.com. Now, back to the article. Where anchoring goes wrong in cross-cultural settings. These are the three mistakes I have seen most often across decades of watching negotiations unravel. The mistake: importing your home culture anchor strategy without adjustment. Why it happens. It worked before. Confidence becomes complacency. What to do instead? Treat every new cultural context as a new room with its own rules. Preparation is not optional. It is the work. The mistake: softening the anchor the moment the other party shows hesitation. Why it happens. Silence or a neutral expression triggers anxiety, and anxiety produces premature concessions. What to do instead? Sit with the silence. Hold your position. Let the other party respond. If the silence stretches past 2 full minutes without any signal, ask an open question rather than moving your number. When colleagues pull in opposite directions during this kind of stalemate, the deal method for diffusing tension between parties who refuse to cooperate offers a useful structure. The mistake: anchoring without rationale in a relationship-first culture. Why it happens. Negotiators trained in transactional settings forget that the number and the relationship are not separate things. What to do instead? Frame every anchor with context. The rationale is not a defensive justification. It is an act of respect. It tells the other party, I have thought about this from your perspective, not just mine. If a conversation has already broken down before you can apply any of this, the bridge method for rebuilding working relationships after genuine breakdown gives you a clear path forward. Your pre-negotiation anchor calibration checklist. Use this before every cross-cultural negotiation where anchoring matters. Number 1. I have written down my target outcome and my reservation price, the point I will not go below. Number 2. I have researched the cultural norm for opening offers in this specific context, wide gap or narrow gap. Number 3. I know whether this is a high context or low context communication culture and have adjusted my framing accordingly. Number 4. My anchor is set at the ambitious edge of what is culturally credible, not simply at the aggressive edge of what I want. Number 5. I have scripted my opening framing the rationale that accompanies the anchor. Number 6. I have planned my concession sequence in advance, what I will give, when, and what I expect in return. Number 7. I have decided how I will respond if the room goes quiet after I anchor. I will hold the silence, not fill it with a softer number. Number 8. I have a recalibration phrase ready if the anchor lands outside the credible range. Let me give you a bit more context on how we arrived at that figure. Keep this list visible during your preparation, not just filed away after you write it. The value is in the review, not the writing. For conversations that require you to advocate upward, the value method for advocating with a manager who dismisses the problem and the SBI method for addressing behavior without triggering defensiveness both complement the anchoring work you do at the table. The opening move is never just a number. Here is what 60 years of watching negotiations taught me: the anchor is not the number. The anchor is a combination of the number, the framing, the timing, and the cultural fluency that surrounds it. Get 3 of those 4 right, and you're still in the game. Get the cultural piece wrong, and the number does not matter. Cross-cultural anchoring rewards the people who prepare with genuine curiosity about where the other party is coming from, not just with tactical cleverness about where they want to end up. The negotiators I have watched succeed consistently in cross-cultural settings are not always the sharpest in the room. They're the ones who did the work before they walked in. If a conversation goes badly despite your preparation, remember that repair is always possible. The recover method for when a tension management conversation makes things worse gives you a structured way back. But the strongest position is never needing it, because your cross-cultural anchoring was calibrated well enough, the conversation had somewhere good to go from the start. Frequently asked questions. What is cross-cultural anchoring in negotiation? Cross-cultural anchoring is the practice of setting an opening position in a negotiation while accounting for the other party's cultural norms, expectations, and tolerance for ambitious first offers. Getting it wrong can signal disrespect or naivety before the real conversation begins. How do you set an anchor in a cross-cultural negotiation? Research the other party's cultural baseline. Set an opening position that is ambitious, but within the credible range their culture accepts, and frame it with a clear rationale. The framing often matters as much as the number itself in high-context cultures. Why does anchoring work differently across cultures? Because cultures have deeply different norms around opening offers, direct communication, and face-saving. A number that reads as strong and confident in one setting can read as offensive or absurd in another, triggering withdrawal rather than engagement. What is the biggest mistake in cross-cultural anchoring? Applying your home culture anchor strategy to a foreign context without adjustment. This usually means anchoring too aggressively in relationship-first cultures, or anchoring too softly in cultures where a weak opening is read as a signal you have no real conviction in your position. How do high-context cultures respond to aggressive anchors? In high-context cultures, an overly aggressive anchor can cause the other party to disengage without saying so directly. They may agree superficially while withdrawing commitment privately, or simply let the conversation stall rather than voice objection openly. Can you adjust your anchor once a negotiation has started? You can shift the framing and introduce new reference points, but a stated anchor is very difficult to retract without losing credibility. This is why preparation before you open your mouth matters far more than any repair attempt made mid-conversation. Thank you for listening. If this article helped, the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time will take you the rest of the way. 115 scripts ready to use whenever you need them. Visit emonblackthorne.com to get your copy.